time for us to start to look like Jesus. It's time for the church to begin to really represent Him. It's time for us to lay hands on the sick and they recover. It's time for us to walk in power.
God desires for you to experience the fullness of His love and blessing. Today on The Believer's Voice of Victory, join special guest Kelly Copeland Swisher as she shares how you can be Jesus to those around you.
Hello, I'm Kelly Copeland Swisher, and I want to welcome you today to The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm filling in for my parents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. And I know that they would say to you today, welcome. We are so glad that you have tuned into the Believer's Voice of Victory program today, because we want to help you to lead the most victorious life that you can lead. And Jesus has that for us. He bought and paid for a life for us that is so blessed, so wonderful, so prosperous, so healed. He wants us to walk in these things. And you know, over the last, 50 years, the body of Christ has had so much revelation about what Jesus did for us. And I think it's taken us years to catch up. We've even scratched the surface of what He wants to do for us. But on the other hand, I think that we can get so stuck there that we forget to find out, what does He want me to do for Him? I was thinking, I was teaching in a church this last spring on Palm Sunday. And so I was thinking, okay, and I was actually teaching on what I'm bringing to you this week and next week. And I was like, Palm Sunday. Okay, Lord, how do I tie this? You know, all the preachers want to tie in, you know, the message to whatever day it is. But it was funny because it actually became a great little object lesson, Palm Sunday. And so I started thinking about Palm Sunday and what that was. And as Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, all these people were laying down palm fronds, and you know, you could just imagine them laying down things in front of Him as He rides into town. And I was imagining that, laying down palm, maybe people laying down their coats, laying down their, you know, blankets, whatever they had, to make His way easier. And I really started thinking about that and thinking about how He came into town. He really came into town on our behalf, you know, not even knowing what He would face. Well, He knew what He was going to face, but, you know, the disciples were a little freaked out because they're thinking, we're going to go into town and they're going to kill us. They weren't sure what was going to happen. But Jesus comes into town and all these people are putting things down in front of Him. And I started thinking about the purpose of that. What was the purpose of that? The purpose of that was to make His way easier. And I thought about the church today. And I thought, if the church today was there, what would we do? Would we just take the palms and wave them in the air and go, oh, hey, Jesus, we love you. Yay. Or would we lay Him on down and make His way easier? Would we lay down who we were? Would we lay down our jackets? You know, back then, for someone to lay down their coat, as Jesus did when He took His coat off and washed the disciples' feet, He laid down who He was. He laid down being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the name above every name. Now, God gave that back to Him. We find out in the Word that God gave Him His name, the name above every name. And then consequently, He gave that name to us. We've been given that name. But how much in our daily lives do we lay down who we are? Do we lay down what we're doing to make his job easier. Now, he came into town on our behalf. And what he did for us, purchasing life, the blessing, health, prosperity. This is kind of a funny story. I was going through these things with our children in children's church here at Eagle Mountain International Church. I was teaching them on a Sunday morning, and we were talking about all the things that Jesus paid the price for us. And so they were naming things, you know, like I just named, in health. And I said, name some of the things that Jesus has set us free from. And I tell you, if this is not proof, maybe kids watch too much TV. Out of the corner of the room, I hear, mesothelioma. These kids are saying, yes, Jesus paid the price for mesothelioma, whether you know what it means or not. I just thought that was funny. They hear so much on TV. But they know, these kids know that Jesus paid the price for us to be free from those things. And we've come to a place where so many of us are aware and standing for the things that he bought and paid for us. And we're standing on those things, standing on the word of God where it says we're healed, we're free, our needs are met. But what we have to be cautious in right now is that we don't get stuck there. I don't want to get stuck in a receiving mode with the Lord where I'm only receiving. Because actually, you can't, if you're not giving out, the flow of your receiving is going to be stopped. But I want to be so much on his behalf that he's able to give to somebody else through me. And that is really what we've been talking about the last few days. If you haven't been with us, go catch up with us at kcm.org, because we've started out in Philippians, and Paul said, to me, living means living for Christ. And I want us to get to that place where we say, you know what, living a life at all, for me to exist today here on this earth, means live for him. Live on his behalf. Live in front of you on his behalf. That my life should show, we find in Philippians, my life should show the fruit of what he did for me. Not only in my love walk, in my kindness, in my joy, in my goodness, in my patience. That's the joy. That is the nature of God on the inside of us. The Bible calls them the fruit of the Spirit. But really, those things are born inside of us when we become born again. God's nature is born inside of us. But are they fruit? They're not really fruit until they come from the inside out. Then, when you can see the joy of the Lord in me, then it's fruit. When you can see the love of God in me and it's out here and I'm clothed out here with it, then it's fruit. And so we need to get to where what's on the inside of us is coming out and able, it's obvious what Jesus has done in our lives. So that's where we've been up till now. And I told you, I talked to you from Philippians. He says, Paul compares our faithful service where he's talking about, you know, did Jesus do anything for you? Do you get comfort? Do you get love? Do you get any of these things from him? Well, then you do that for others. And he says, just like if I were to pour out, if I were to lose my life or give my life, it would be poured out like a liquid offering unto God. And then he says, just like your faithful service. So the things that you do for the Lord, whether it is, you know, maybe it's public work where you're helping people. Praise God. Don't just do that. Do it as unto him. Do it on his behalf. If you're a school teacher and you're teaching children, do it as unto him. Do it on his behalf. You know, that may change what you say. That may change what you do. You know, wherever you go to work, do it, be it, report to work on his behalf. Now, like I said, that may change how you do things. That may change what you say. Are you working for your boss? Are you working for a paycheck? Or are you working today for the living God? Are you on duty for him every day? Are you living your life as unto him? Or are you living your life allowing him to live through you and in you? That's what we're talking about. So today we're looking in Romans chapter 12, and we've heard this scripture a lot, but maybe we can make it have a little deeper meaning as we're talking about these things. You know, it's not enough to the Lord for his love to be black and white words on a piece of paper or red and white words in a book. That's not enough for him. He doesn't want people to experience love via paper, love by words. He said it in his word, you know, don't love in word, but in truth and in deed. He wants people to experience love from another person. He wants you to experience love from me. He wants your family to experience love, his love, through you. And I just, don't you want to be available to him for that? I want to be available to him, make myself. I'm the only one that can make myself available to him for this. And I'm the only one that can bring myself into this next level of walking with him. You know, there was, I actually found some research. I wasn't really actually looking for this research. I just looked on the George Barna's website, which they do great. www.barna.org. They do great research to know where the church is today. And they said that most Christians do not know how to define spiritual maturity. Really got me thinking, and it really fit what I was trying to tell you these 2 weeks about spirit growing up spiritually. We're supposed to grow up into him. You know, the definition of spiritual maturity is, do we look like Jesus? Some 81% of self-identified Christians, people who call themselves Christians, said that being a Christian or spiritual health is trying hard to follow the rules described in the Bible. That is so far below what spiritual maturity is. It's not trying to follow rules. It's not. Now, if you don't do what the Lord says, you're not very spiritually mature. That's like your children. When they get to be older and they begin to realize you know what you're talking about and they begin to listen to you more and follow what you say, they're not just following rules. They're following something that they know is wisdom and they know works. It's a difference between, you know, your kids as adults and your kids as when they're little and you're training them. Maybe they obey you just because you said so. Maybe they obey you because they think they'll get a spanking if they don't. But the difference is they're not just following rules. They begin to understand and they begin to grow up. Well, with the Lord, spiritual maturity is, do we look like Jesus? The Bible says we are to, it says it over and over again, it says it in Ephesians. We grow up into him. You know, it's time for the body to grow up into the head. We've had a very mature head and a very baby-like body. But it's time for the body to catch up with where the head is. It's time for us to start to look like Jesus. It's time for the church to begin to really represent him. It's time for us to lay hands on the sick and they recover. It's time for us to walk in power. But we're going to have to position ourselves to walk in that power. And how do we do that? We begin living on his behalf, the way he's told us to do, not following a bunch of rules. It's not about that. It's about growing up and into him, living by the power on the inside of us, not by our desires and what our flesh wants. The Bible says there are people whose actions say that they are enemies of the cross because they just live by their fleshly desires. We can either be that way or we can be the way I've been talking about the last few days, living to be him, living to be just like, I want to be just like him. You know, people say to you about your kids, boy, they've grown up to be just like you. You know, hopefully that's a compliment. But he wants us to grow up into his full stature. And, you know, people always say, well, we can't be perfect. Oh, yes, we can. We need to start saying we are perfect in Him, because we are supposed to be like Him. We are supposed to be living as He lives. And because of Him and Him on the inside of us, we can live perfectly. And praise God, we can, if we miss it, we can get back perfect again, just like that, by repenting. That's what is so awesome about being a believer. So let's look at Romans chapter 12. I'm reading out of the New Living. It says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you." Now, Paul does a lot of begging and pleading with these churches that he writes to. Please, he said, we read it the other day, live a life that's worthy of what Jesus did for you. You know, live a life that's worthy of the gospel. What does that say? Live a life that gives a worthy representation of the good news of Jesus. You know, I want my life to reflect the good things that He's done for you. And I believe, you know, my children love the Lord. They are passionate about the Lord. My husband is wonderful. We're serving the Lord together. We're doing everything we know to do to further the gospel. And so, you know, I believe you can look at us and say we're blessed. You can look at us and say, look, as they obey, things work out. That's living a life worthy of the gospel. So let's move on. Give your bodies to God, he says, because of all He's done for you. Let them be a living and a holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. You know, I was telling one of the kids one time, you know, it's not your worship. You know, young people are very into worship, and that's wonderful. But it's important for us to know that worship is not just standing up in church, raising your hands and singing some songs. Music in and of itself is not worship. I told them, you know, your life that you lead, as you lead a pure life and you pursue godly things and you pursue the plan of God and you're living on His behalf, your life all week long leading up to that worship service in church, your life is a sacrifice. Your life is that thing that brings your worship that you sing into the presence of the Lord. You know, who shall ascend, the word says, unto the holy hill, but he who has clean hands and a pure heart. You know, that sacrifice that people would bring up to the temple, this sacrifice that they would bring would make their way up and into the temple, and the sacrifice would bring their name before the Holy of Holies. Our sacrifice, our life, our daily sacrifice is the thing that invites the Spirit of God. We're going to talk about this some next week, but I don't, you know, yes, He is with me. Yes, He is always with me and never leaves me nor forsakes me. But it's not enough for me to think of Him being with me wherever I am. I want to think, and I want my life to reflect that I'm with Him. I'm where He is. If He's going this direction, I'm going that direction. If He's moving this way, I'm moving this way. I want to be where He is. And so your life is the thing that brings His presence into your, where you, the glory of God, where He can hang out with you, you know? And so this daily living sacrifice, it's one thing to give your life. You know, people, martyrs, and praise God and bless the souls of people who have given their life for the sake of the gospel. You know, we don't see it here in the United States much, but boy, in other countries, there are people giving their life on a regular basis for the sake of the gospel. But you know what we need to be doing? It is just as much, Paul says, a sacrifice for us to give a daily offering of our body, of our life, of our emotions, of the things that we do, our deeds. It's just as much to live daily on His behalf. If I'm at the grocery store and someone is rude or pushes my buttons, or I'm just in, you know, got a lot on my mind and I'm busy, for me to stop and take the time to pray for somebody or do something for somebody, or just to be nice to somebody that was rude to me, and to be a picture of Jesus to live on his behalf. That is a daily sacrifice. He says this is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing. And you know, it goes on, and perfect, it said. Remember, we can be perfect. It goes on to say in Romans chapter 12, it talks about, you know, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Love with genuine affection. Take delight in honoring each other. Don't be lazy. Don't be proud. Never pay back evil with evil. What's he saying? All of these things that he lists here are things that take some sort of decision on your part. Can't live in the natural. Can't copy the customs and the behavior of this world and do all these things. You're going to have to, it takes a sacrifice. But it's a living daily sacrifice that we live as unto him, where we see things the way he sees them. We see people the way he sees them. Daily. Living your life. Always. In the store. In front of your family. In front of your spouse. Your children. As unto him. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
I think definitely representing Jesus, it should be shown in the way you walk and talk and showing love towards others. That's the most important. And if people can see Jesus in you, then that's going to bring them closer and draw them in.
As I get older, I begin to just live the life and just allow people to come to me just through the light that's in him.
It's just so amazing how when you actually help other people and think about their needs, like all of a sudden your needs aren't nearly as important. And it's way more fun getting someone else's needs met than it is your own anyway. And so pretty soon you start forgetting about yourself and you know what, it's really not about me. It's really about this other person, and God gets all the glory for it anyway.
I think we have to just totally forget about ourselves, because Jesus showed so much love and compassion for others that he didn't really think about himself.
Giving someone a smile or an encouraging word, or just letting them know that somebody cares or notices them, you know, is such a big deal, especially in the fast-paced society that we live in.
In the uncertainty of the world's financial system, people everywhere struggle to keep their jobs, pay their bills, and prepare for the future. Is there a way to be truly prosperous and blessed in these changing times? God's Word has much to say about the purpose of money and the promise of prosperity. Blessed to Be a Blessing, a book by Kenneth Copeland, reveals God's desires to bless you. God has made all of heaven's supply available to you for a specific plan and purpose. In this practical book, you'll find out how to tap into God's promises and heaven's economy to change the world around you. It's time for the children of God to have the financial means to reach people for Jesus. Don't settle for less. Think bigger, because God has more for you. Get into God's system and be blessed to be a blessing. Order your copy of Blessed to Be a Blessing, now available for just $10. For a product discount and faster processing, order online at kcm.org. In this book by Kenneth Copeland, find out the truth about God's desire for you to prosper and live in abundance. To request your copy by phone, call toll-free 800-575-4455. You may also write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Order your copy today.
Our product offer this week is Dad's book, Blessed to Be a Blessing. And you might say, Kelly, I cannot be a blessing to anybody right now. I have so many needs. That's okay. God wants to bless you. And that's something you have to find out first before you can find out how to be a blessing. But you know what? In this book are the answers to all of that. The Lord is not keeping prosperity away from you. He wants to get it to you, and he can use you to get it to others. So order yours today. It'll be a great blessing to you, and you will prosper in the name of Jesus. You know, we want you to know everything here at KCM, this is how we operate, that we're blessed, not for ourselves, but we're blessed to be a blessing for you in everything we do around here is to minister to you. Our broadcasts, our magazine. Oh, if you could see Dad over that partner letter. I mean, he sits there and he prays and writes and thinks and is in the Word until he hears what the Lord wants to say to you. We have our meetings, the internet, and prayer. You know, we have trained prayer ministers on staff. Now, you're not going to call KCM for prayer and get someone off property who is contracted to just say a prayer for you. These are people who are trained. They are part of the vision of Kenneth Copeland Ministries, and they're going to pray the word with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That was such a dream of my parents. I remember when it was just a dream to have that. And today we have that in our headquarters here in the United States at Fort Worth, Texas. We have other offices around the world who will pray with you as well. And just look on our website. You can check their hours of operation. But here in the United States, it's 24/7, praise God, because we want to support you, spirit, soul, and body, whatever you need. We reach out and call you. If we haven't called you, you call us. We're here for you. You know, 2009 is the year that the glory is going to shine. And where is it coming from? It's coming out of, we're finding out in this week and next, it's coming from the inside of me and you, the glory of God, Jesus in His presence. This is Kelly Copeland Swisher reminding you today that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase a copy of this week's broadcasts on DVD or CD, visit our website at kcm.org or call toll-free 800-575-4455. Don't miss these exciting meetings. Information, go to kcm.org. The world around you is changing every day, but one thing remains the same: God's Word. The Believer's Voice of Victory magazine is full of life-changing teaching that will help you and your family live in the fullness of God's blessing. Build your faith as you read word-based teachings from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and the real-life stories of believers from around the world. Request your free subscription today. The Believer's Voice of Victory magazine. Words you can build your life upon.